The cause is yours. So you will take care of it. And he said that to the Lord. That's Dr. Martin Luther there in the other room from the University of Wittenberg. I'm Veit Dietrich. I teach there too. But here in the summer of 1530, we're in this castle, Coburg, watching, waiting, wondering, while many of our colleagues and not a few of our princes are in Augsburg, called there to the big imperial meeting to make confession of our faith. It is an unsettled time. Luther amazes me. He is so confident in his prayers. Me, I'd be ashamed to tell you what my prayers have been like these past few days and even weeks. Do you know what it's like when things are just slipping out of your grasp? I like it when I'm in control of things. But as we're finding out here, this is not a season for control. Of course, when you're at the end of your rope, there's no place to look but up. And Luther has been looking up from his knees, depending upon the Lord. It really does amaze me, his buoyancy, his hope, even his cheerfulness from day to day. That doesn't come out of nowhere. He's digging deep into the scriptures. He devotes at least three of the best hours of the day to prayer, and Luther always prays with an open Bible. Maybe our princes are there standing in Augsburg before the princes and kings. But Luther is on his knees, and unashamedly so. Still, I worry about our party in Augsburg. They've got so many things facing them, not only straight-up theological debate, but power politics, dirty tricks. You should read the letters Master Philip is writing. He talks about all the fears with which they are consumed, all the dangers with which they are surrounded. The devil is alive and well there in Augsburg. And I know it really weighs heavily on Philip that a war could come out of all this. The peace, the order of the empire could all be sacrificed over this. Boy, to have something like that weigh on you, it would be a shame, of course, but think of the pressure. Something like that could paralyze a person into doing nothing. Much less than that can paralyze a person into doing nothing, don't you know? And I mean that. Don't you? No. That's why it is all the more amazing what Luther has been writing back to Philip. I've got a letter here that he wants me to send by the courier, but he let me read it first. Maybe he wouldn't mind if I read you a little bit of it. Here's what he writes to Philip. I hate the worries that consume you. If they pervade our hearts, the fault is not with the greatness of our cause, but with the greatness of our unbelief. No matter how great our cause, greater is he who has it in his hand and started it. With our worries, we make him in his promises a liar. He wants us to be cheerful, for he says, cast your care upon the Lord. And then I love this part. He adds, I too tremble often, but not continually. See, it turns out Luther is doing more on his knees than just praying for the people in Augsburg. He's confessing his sins. He's inviting Philip to do the very same thing. and to find refuge with the blood covering him that was shed for the sin of the world by none less than the Son of God. Still, it's so easy to let human things count with us more than divine things. Maybe you know that. Actually, I'm sure you know that. Luther goes on, something else he writes Philip. I, for my part, am, so far as the cause is concerned, not very much disturbed. Yes, of better hope than I had expected. God is able to raise the dead. He is also able to sustain his cause when it wavers, when it has fallen, to raise it up again, when it stands, to further it. Luther has been working on his commentary on Psalm 118 while here at the Coburg. And I've got to think he's thinking of that verse in the psalm. Non moriar sed vivo. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Which works? What, Lord? We were just singing it in his hymn the other night. With might of ours cannot be done. Soon were our laws effected. But for us fights the valiant one whom God himself elected. Ask ye, who is this? Jesus Christ it is, of Sabaoth Lord, and there's none other God. He holds the field forever. That's why I'm so glad to be able to talk with Luther while we're here, sing with him, hear him pray. It is amazing listening to him. He speaks to God with the familiarity with which you would speak to a friend or a father. Now, he speaks reverently. He speaks respectfully. But boy, is he insistent. You are our God and Father, and you will certainly put our enemies to shame because they are your enemies. And if we end up being put to shame, then that's not only our loss, it is far more your loss. So the cause is yours. I know, he says, you will take care of it. See, it turns out that confession begins on one's knees. Confession of faith always entails the confession of sin and the being raised up again by the power that raised our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead after he died for us. If God is for us, then who can be against us? Maybe Dr. Luther ought to write that one to Master Philip, because that's one of Philip's favorite Bible passages. If God is for us, who can be against us? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? And speaking of Bible passages, you know, Luther told me just the other night that he thought of a verse from Psalm 119. When our princes make that confession there at Augsburg, whichever day that's going to be here, it will be like an instantiation of what the psalm said. I will speak of your testimonies before kings and will not be put to shame. We've got his word on it. We've got his promise. That gospel promise is the most important thing in the world. It's the most important thing that's going on there at Augsburg. It certainly is the most important thing to Luther there as he prays in the other room. And it needs to be important to me and to you. Going on into the future, I dare say if the Lord lets this world stand, 500 years from now, they'll still be talking about this. Well, maybe 487 years from now. But as for you, who do you have to tell about Jesus? It may be a king, it may be somebody else. Who do you have? Speak of his testimonies. And you have his word on it. You will not be put to shame.